You ever talk to yourself?
Yeah.
You know you do.
We all do. We all talk to ourselves. Now, some would say the problem becomes when we begin answering, but that happens all the time as well. The truth is, there is a continual dialogue going on all the time within you. The temporal and eternal are in a continual dialogue. Your mind and your soul are in a continual dialogue. We're going to look this morning at a psalm. Actually, in your Bible, it's going to appear to be two psalms. But we're going to look at this psalm, and you probably have heard it sung, at least the first line. The psalmist is voicing a lament, a complaint, a problem. What the situation was exactly is unsure, whether it was caused by illness or even exile. But like all of us, it took the psalmist some time to understand, to hear. Which is what I pray for all of us this morning. That we will hear a dialogue. Psalm 42, and then we're going to get into Psalm 43. Psalm 42 begins. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to my God, to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As the shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now into Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. You talk to yourself all the time. You're temporal, you're eternal. Your mind, your soul. A dialogue is needed for you to begin to understand the situation. Whatever was going on in the psalmist's life, it was causing him to turn inward. The temporal was shouting at the eternal. Whatever it was, he was not at all positive in his view of life. The despair had taken over within the psalmist and destroyed the positive, outgoing view of life. And he had turned in on himself. Everything was going wrong. Have you ever had days like that? Weeks like that? Months like that? Years like that? Look at how he described his plight. He was in a spiritual wilderness. He said, like a deer pants for water, like a deer who has been pushed out of his natural habitat, like a deer who has been forced out, he is searching. He is searching, and it's not that he's mildly disturbed and needs a drink. He said, as a deer pants for water, Lord, I'm panting. I'm panting after you. His soul was dry and parched. Thinking about this, it's a wonder people my generation and older are alive. Do you realize that? You know, we didn't have car seats. When you went to football practice in August in Lawton, Oklahoma, you prayed for some clouds. And you never got many. And they wouldn't let you have water when you needed it. They would only let you have water. And I remember one coach we had in junior high that would count. And he would only count to about three and then push you and make you go away. He's like, give me some water. Give me some water. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Lord, my soul is parched. I'm dry. I'm hurting. And thinking back, tears of despair had been what he consumed, what he was living on, tears of despair. Grief, this overwhelming sense of loss, had dominated his life. He had turned inward. And so, as the world does, those around him had mocked him, saying, where is your God? Oh, you're one of those. You're one of those. Then why are you in this situation? And the psalmist had to agree, it seems. God had departed. The hope God represented and the help he would have been seemed a distant hope. He was down. He needed to begin to understand the situation. Have you ever watched a movie with a complicated plot line? Well, all of us have. Did someone ever walk in the middle of it and begin watching it with you? I'm pretty bad about that. I'll walk in and, who was that? What's that? Oh, just go watch the football game again. I watch for that moment, and because I don't understand the plot line, none of it seems to really make sense. And think for a moment, too, of coming in to watch that complicated movie with the complicated plot line and leave before the end comes. But that's life. We were born into a complicated plot line. We don't understand everything going on around us. We don't understand the cause of everything. We don't understand why everything that we're having to go through, we're having to go through. And before there's any real resolution, often we depart. Well, let me tell you, relationship with Jesus helps you understand the action that is going on around you at that moment. He helps you understand or accept the past, and he helps you process all that is to come. The psalmist said that he was thirsty. Do you think it was for no reason that Jesus said to the woman at the well, I am the living water? Because thirst is something that is common to all of us. We get into a situation, and I have realized that it's not always physical exertion or what the sweating of water out of our bodies. Sometimes it is just the stress of the situation that we need water. And Jesus is the water that satisfies. He is the one. He is the one. All you need. Joy, this settledness in life, no matter what happens, only comes from knowing Jesus. You cannot substitute anything else and expect it to satisfy. It is only a relationship with Christ. You need to talk to Jesus. You need to talk to Jesus about life, and that way the dialogue that you have with yourself will begin to make sense. As the dialogue continues, recognize the answer for your situation. Still focused inward in the second half of Psalm 42, the psalmist begins rehearsing the answer to his problem. He does call out to God, but his focus is still on the past. His focus is still on what's happening. His focus is not where it ought to be. He remembered all that God had done, which is significant because before he focused only on the crowds and the festivals and what was going on around him. And the psalmist said in the last section of 42 that first of all, he was honest with himself and he admitted, "My soul is in despair." You know, sometimes we lie to ourselves. Dialogue. And when we lie to ourselves, we don't really come to grips with where the problem is. And finally, the psalmist is telling himself the truth. "My soul is in despair." He was low and he knew it. And he was willing to admit it. He reminded himself of God's power over all of creation. Over all of creation. Wanting water earlier in the refreshment it would have brought him, now he only thinks of the primeval chaos of the water, like the waves breaking at the ocean edge. Just thing after thing after thing after thing was just crashing down around him. The chaos was all about him. In verse 8, the progress seems to be made. God would command creation for his good. That respite seems short-lived because as his adversaries attack again, mocking him for trusting and waiting on God, and despair again seems to take over and win the day. But this time, the psalmist is more sure. When he says there in the last part of what we know as Psalm 42, hope in God. The help he needed, he knew, would only come from God. So he is beginning to recognize the answer for his situation. When I was in high school, the youth and worship pastor of a sister church there in Lawton led in worship at a larger youth gathering that I had attended. And we had seen him and heard him, and we knew of him or knew him. And I'd heard this song before, but he had written a song entitled, "I've Got to Know You're There." It was about a young man in his youth group that had had catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe in his life. He told the story of being in, I guess, a teaching situation. They closed it by praying together and sentence prayers. And the young man said, "Lord, I've got to know you're there." And that was what inspired the song. "Lord, I've got to know you're there." As you think of your life, as you think of all that is happening in it, is that not one of the greatest needs, if not the greatest need, Lord, just to know you're there? When the phone rings at an odd time, when someone that doesn't usually call you calls, when the person who ought not come to your door comes to your door, do you know that God will be there? Well, up to this point, the psalmist had thrown a pity party for himself. Do you ever do that? Yeah, go ahead and admit it. We all think, no one's ever been through this before. We have. They have. Or we say a four-letter word that distorts our thinking. That's not fair. And so a pity party becomes a monologue when you need to have a dialogue. Your dialogue will come to be successful as you address your words to God. We're into Psalm 43 now. And in what we know as Psalm 43, the psalmist finally turns his thoughts and his words completely to God. First, he pleads for God to come and judge him, and ultimately then to vindicate him against the world. His problems have not been solved. Everything had not been worked out. But he was calling on God to deliver him from the world. And in verse 2, he makes a statement that only seems to bother him. You are the God of my strength, but why have you rejected me? Why am I being oppressed by an enemy? And as you really begin to read that, and as you get a sense of him praying, you get a sense that the proverbial tide is turning. That he's beginning to see. Lord, send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. His eternal soul was getting control over his temporal mind, and he anticipated worshiping and glorifying God. He would go before God, the source and the wellspring of his exceeding joy, and I will praise him. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees, and that's true in life. When everything around us seems to be flying apart, God is there. And he said, you are the source of my exceeding joy. And then you have, as the psalm ends, you just have a sense that even though the words are all but the same, the tone and the frame of mind are vastly different. He says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The psalmist had finally turned and addressed his words to God. How good are you at hinting? How good are you at hinting about something to someone? And how good are you at taking a hint? Well, with Christmas coming, my family knows that I am terrible at both. Tell me what you want for Christmas, and I'll go get it. Because hints. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to illustrate there? Sometimes we seem to think that surely God knows what's going on in my life. He knows everything. But do you realize why he wants you to get past hinting and tell him? Because he wants to be glorified. He wants to glorify himself, and the best way for us to do that is for us to pray and ask and know when whatever works out, that he's the one who changed them. Prayer works because God is strong. We need to pray because we need to see that God is strong. But sometimes, we start listening to the temporal. Sometimes we start listening to our mind. This didn't go right. That one was misunderstood. This shouldn't have happened, but it did. And all of this is what we face every day. But there is a God who controls everything. And he saw the situation that man had put himself in by rebelling. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go get them. And that's what Jesus did. Can you say as the psalmist, hope in God, for he is the source of my joy? I have to admit to you, I preach this as much this morning for myself as for anyone. Early in the week, and I don't know what day it was now, I remember saying to myself, how am I going to preach about joy when I have none? You know, I'm not sure now what was robbing me of my joy. But I do know I was focused on seeking after the Lord. And when I turned that focus, everything else faded in importance. I began to hear the dialogue between my eternal soul, who knows Jesus, and my temporal mind that can only see the problems. Are you seeking after Christ? Are you listening? Or are you just paying attention to all the things happening around you? There's a dialogue, and the Lord is wanting to speak.